We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Good vibes, Ben.
Afternoons on the Score.
I'd like to try TV, and I've had some opportunities. I talked to Drew a little bit about it last night. I don't know that part of it that well, but that'd be something that would interest me. And so I think the hardest part is sitting in your chair saying, wait a minute, you haven't talked with a network yet. You haven't talked with, like, not a word. So hopefully that opportunity comes.
A-Rod is here.
Yeah, he is.
Just never know where Alex Rodriguez is going to pop up. What a life.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
We are constantly refreshing the news feed and following, as always, Dan Quinn interviewing right now for a second time with the Bears, for a first time with Ryan Poles. If he or anyone else is named the Bears head coach, we, of course, will immediately get into reaction and be discussing it. But there's also a lot of broadcast stories that are interesting, and we all watch these games, and Sean Payton is just apparently a huge X factor into the entire thing. He retires with 3 years left on his contract with the Saints and says, I want to get into TV. Fox is reportedly interested. And right now we're going to be joined by Richard Deitch, the sports media. I looked at you on the screen. I thought he was there. My apologies. We'll have him in a minute. Sean Payton is looking to get into television. Troy Aikman might be leaving for Amazon. Al Michaels might be leaving for either Amazon or ESPN. Feels like we could have, other than Nance and Romo, which are locked in, Spiegs, feels like the other big ones could all have significant shakeups going forward.
Yeah, we could absolutely have a little bit of a carousel in terms of that. And it's just, it's such an interesting world. There's obviously so much money. And as you and I have noted, their willingness to promote each other in the big, happy family of networks, you know, eating from the or drinking from the trough that is the NFL, it is quite something. Lot to talk about with Deitch in that regard. He very closely followed the Manning cast, which I know you loved and watched constantly. And then the aforementioned Alex Rodriguez, who you heard there in the clip, is going to be getting his own version of it on Sunday Night Football. Looks like Michael Kay or Sunday Night Baseball. Looks like Michael Kay and Alex Rodriguez together hosting a Sunday night broadcast, alternate option there. So it could be very, very interesting.
So Richard Deitch, sports media writer for The Athletic, longtime guest here at The Score, host of Sports Media Podcast, with us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Richard, thank you for the time. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Doing good, guys. Yourself?
We're doing very well. It's a nice little pause and a break for us from the Bears coaching carousel right now. But Sean Payton has entered the chat, as they say. How do you think he factors in to what seems like it could be a very busy offseason in the broadcaster carousel for these NFL networks?
He's entered a transfer portal, indeed.
Yeah.
When it comes to broadcasting, I'm not providing the audience with any expertise that they don't already know if they're sports fans. You know, big names attract networks. Big names attract places that are sports media outlets. So obviously, Sean Payton, Super Bowl winning coach, his resume, obviously, in terms of being in the league, for how long he's been in the league, who he's coached, et cetera, speaks for itself. So all of these networks who have significant NFL programming are obviously going to contact his agent and see – if nothing else, what his interest in broadcasting is, like how serious it is. The next step is the more interesting one. All of the networks have production people who have met with Sean Payton many, many times in those production meetings when they've had Saints games. So they'll have a sense of whether they think however Payton is can translate into good television. The jury's out on that. You know, there are people I think who you know are slam dunk, like Peyton Manning, absolutely lights out. There are people you hope are slam dunk, someone like Tom Brady. I'm sorry, someone like Tony Romo comes in and is, you know, a transformational, generational talent. And then someone like Drew Brees comes in and hasn't necessarily been, you know, unbelievably overwhelming. So you really don't know until they get in front of the camera, with the exception of very, very few people like Peyton Manning. My sense is that if Sean Payton wants a job, he will certainly get one. I think he would start in the studio, to be very honest, probably before doing games, because, again, I'm just reading the tea leaves here. If he's really a little bit tired and if he really wants sort of a mental break, I don't know if going on the road for 17 weeks a year on, like, Fox's number four team is going to be of interest to him. That doesn't seem like the job he'd want. So, again, if he wants in, I think he will get in. One of the networks will hire him for some kind of, I think, studio show. And then you'll get a sense as to whether, you know, one, how good Peyton is. And this is the more interesting one, the more important one is he serious about being a broadcaster long term, or is this just a way station for a year to collect a check for another job? And that's where the networks have to be careful. You know, you don't want to give this guy $20 million if he's just sort of one and done. So it's an interesting sort of tricky situation. But to put a sort of very quick point on it, if Sean Payton wants to be a broadcaster this coming year, he will be one.
Would he audition in terms of doing games? I remember when Jay Cutler was out of football before he came back with the Dolphins, he did audition with Fox and they were blown away by him. And I remember talking to some people in that process. But at this point, like, did Drew Brees do an audition game with NBC before he got it? And would Sean Payton do an audition game, or do they just assume he'd be good?
In Peyton's case, if he wanted to do games, I think he would do an audition, although I think they would probably not use the word audition. They would, you know, hey, Sean, come in. We'll have a great, fun day. You'll meet all our guys. You'll go into the booth here. We'll call an hour's worth of games just so we can see how comfortable you are. But it would be an audition. If, let's say, the Monday Night Football booth is being blown up, let's say Lewis Riddick gets a job in a front office somewhere, Brian Griese's contract's coming up. They decide they don't want to renew him. And, you know, again, Steve Levy is there or not there. I think that would be a pure audition process, because when ESPN had its Monday Night Football tryout, so to speak, they all did auditions with Joe Tessitore back then. So that would be an audition. I don't believe Brees came into NBC and did a like what you would consider a traditional audition. They had tape on him because he had done the Super Bowl with them one year. I wish I can remember, but he'd sort of been a guest, like a guest analyst for them. And he was, again, you got to remember, Drew Brees really is a different level of fame. He had done so many interviews. He had been in that situation so many times that I think in that kind of negotiation, you're either hiring the guy, like, or you're not. I don't think you're going to bring him in to do an audition. Although I will say this, it's probably smart to do that, right? Because you really want to see, at least at a base minimum, how good somebody can be in that process. But then my last point would be this. Like, I think some people have terrible auditions and could be awesome game analysts. I also think there's probably some people who have incredible auditions just because, for whatever reason, like that game, the sequence, the momentum, the feel, they just knocked it out of the park. And then they, you know, week seven, week six of their regular job, they're just average. So I think it tells you a little bit, but it doesn't tell you everything.
Sports media writer and podcaster for The Athletic, Richard Deitch, is our guest. Amazon has Thursday Night Football, and Amazon has more money than all of these other networks. There are the reports and rumors of the super team of Al Michaels and Troy Aikman. Now there's rumblings of ESPN making a run at Al Michaels. Troy Aikman seems to not hide his disdain for how much money Tony Romo makes very well. What do we think is happening with the blank check that Jeff Bezos is about to write?
Well, all right, so let me give you my incredibly cheap over-the-top plug. Troy Aikman happened to be my sports media podcast guest this week, and I did ask him about that. So
he resents Romo. Yes,
I don't think I don't think he resents Romo. I mean, I would say, I mean, you know, maybe you have deep sources inside the Dallas community that I don't have. It's possible, but you know, but yeah, but like, you got to remember, like, these guys, their like net worth career earnings are like just like, you know, the 1% of the 1%, right? So I think at a certain point, like, everybody wants to get paid a certain dollar figure if you believe, let's say, you're the best NFL analyst. But, like, resentment would be, I think, just a little bit too strong. I mean, you know, I don't know what Troy Aikman's net worth is, but, like, if I'm conservative, like, it's between $50 million and $100 million, right? So, like, if he's making $7 million, $8 million, and Tony Romo's making $18 million, yeah, I'm sure there's a part of him that thinks I should be making Romo money or close to it. But I can't see like that guy being sitting up at night thinking, oh, my God, how's Tony Romo making $10 million more dollars than me a year? So I hope I'm explaining that right. In terms of Aikman's interest, Aikman's interested in Amazon for sure. And I think he's also interested in being with Fox long term. The question is, can those two interests meet? I did ask him, would he be willing to do both Thursday for Amazon, Sunday for Fox? He said, yeah. He's like, it's a lot, but, you know, I've done Thursday Night Football now for 4 years. So there's no doubt in my mind Amazon's going to hire a big-time play-by-play person. It seems Al Michaels is a lock. That is just, like you said, a base. You know, someone's just going to go over to Al and say, here's a check, just tell us the number, and we'll hire you for, you know, a year or two to do this. The analyst one is a little bit different because I think they're going to have to sort of make it worth Aikman's time if Aikman is the person they want. Just in terms of, you know, how they set it up, does he have to do every game? You know, what's the dollar figure on that? And if they don't get Aikman, they certainly will be able to get some other big name. You know, like whether it's Breeze, whether it's, you know, fill in your big name person who I think the networks, by and large, for the most part, would be cool about letting their talent do Amazon as well as doing it Sunday. Because you got to remember, Amazon's now a partner with the NFL. Which means that the NFL wants Amazon to succeed. So the NFL can also be a player here in terms of, let's say it was Charles Davis. They'd be all talking sort of about, like, you know, hey, CBS, we really want this Amazon product to do well. Amazon really wants Charles Davis. Can we make this work where Charles can do games on Thursday and games on Sunday? So I think you'll get a decision or at least some news very soon. I would expect it around the Super Bowl or right afterwards. And then, yeah, I guess, you know, the money will be interesting. I mean, you're right. Like, money for Amazon, these are rounding errors for Amazon. So they could do something like insane and just be like, give Al Michaels $25 million to call games. I mean, if I'm Al Michaels' agent, I would just be insane and just ask. Like, I want $80 million a year and I want Sri Lanka. I literally want the country in addition. And just see what Amazon says. Amazon would be like, all right, we can't give you the country, but we'll give you $40 million a year. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I would approach it, because Amazon needs a big name talent, because they want people to buy Amazon Prime, and they're only going to get one chance at doing their first year of football like this. And I think they know that they have to make a splash. And how do you make a splash? You make it with talent.
I think you'd ask for three rides on the rocket. I want three rides on the rocket, three trips to the solar system, and beyond. I think you kind of answered one of my questions, which was like, will Amazon end up be a willing, happy collaborator with the other networks the way that the NFL clearly has it set up? And the NFL is the one with the heavy hand in that regard. So that answer is probably yes. Let me segue to the Manning cast, Richard Deitch. And what do you think, if anything, will be tweaked for next year with the Manning cast? They obviously had a great year, and working the frequency they did, I wonder if there'll be the same number of guests. So any expectations for changes there?
Yeah, I think, one, the tech will be better. They'll have more time to sort of like make that tech, the latency better, meaning like when Peyton or Eli ask a question, we don't get the delays as much. I think the studio setup probably will, not that it was bad, but, you know, I think they'll have time to set up Eli and set up Peyton with, you know, even more gadgets and bells and whistles and stuff like that. I think the look will stay the same. I think they'd be making a mistake, by the way, if they changed the look of it. I think they figured out after the first week, put the two guys or three people in a box on the left and then give us, for the most part, the full screen. Like, don't don't do more boxes on the screen like that because it gets a little too hard. And then this is pure guesswork by me. I don't know if this will be the case, but I do think at a certain point in the season, I think they'll reduce it from four guests to three. I think four guests is a lot. Now, if you have four, like, A-plus lights-out guests, that, you know, obviously you sort of want to do that. But I think the secret sauce of that broadcast isn't Peyton and Eli interacting with the guests. It's Peyton and Eli. And so I'd rather, you know, if it was me, if I was producing, if I was ESPN, I'd probably next year want a little bit more of them than we got this year, just them together. And then your last part about frequency, it's a good question. You know, like they did, I think it turned out to be 10 games this year. I think ESPN would love them to do more. But in a way, part of the reason I think it was really good is because, it, you know, they were fresh for every one of those games. And it kind of felt like something cool, like when they came back from a break and you got them again. I don't know if this cool factor would be there if they did 17 weeks. So yeah, I could see it maybe increasing from 10 to 12, but I would be stunned. You know, I'll certainly own it if I'm wrong. I would really be stunned if they did a full season. I don't see that happening.
Everyone copies every good idea, so A-Rod gets his cast right. For Sunday Night Baseball. We know that the NBA is doing one. Is anyone going to copy the Nickelodeon broadcast to try to bring in a young audience for, say, Major League Baseball?
By the way, poor Alex Rodriguez. When Kevin Burkhardt gets into the Hall of Fame before he does, I mean, then everybody on that studio show will be in the Hall of Fame before Alex.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't feel bad for Alex Rodriguez at all, just for the record.
Not the most sympathetic figure in the world.
Different conversation. I do think Bonds and Clemens should have been in. Anyway, the way the Nickelodeon thing is really good, like it's really produced really smartly and well. You need, I think, you need an existing kind of children's network or, you know, with animators and with all those kinds of talent to, you know, behind the scenes talent to make it happen. So, like, theoretically, obviously Disney could do something just given it's Disney and they have all that. Although I haven't heard that that's like immediately on their plate. I mean, if they're going to do something, I could see them trying to do something with like a Marvel Universe broadcast I don't know if they would do this, like a Star Wars themed broadcast, but, you know, that's expensive and they'd really have to figure out how they can do that. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. Everything gets copied and I'm not going to be surprised if I see something like that, but I haven't heard anything where it's really like, concrete and ideas. The thing that's going to be copied is obviously Manning Cast. Like we have seen a copy now in the NBA already, and we're going to see versions of this elsewhere. And the other thing that obviously is going to be copied, and it's sort of been copied in many ways already, is that F1 show that Netflix has done.
So
and you're
going
to see all of these, you're going to see every single league that can and is willing to give that kind of access try to do an in-season behind the scenes docu-series with drama. The tennis is doing it already. I don't know how much the networks got when it came to Djokovic in Australia, but like in theory, if they got really great behind the scene access, you can turn that into an incredible drama. And, you know, it probably will get more people interested in a sport like tennis. So that is the one copycat I can assure you is going to continue, is every one of these leagues saw how many more people started watching F1 because of Drive to Survive. And they're all going to want to try to get in on that.
Listen to his sports media podcast, this week's episode with Troy Aikman. Read him at The Athletic. He is Richard Deitch. Richard, as always, thank you.
Yeah, love being on Chicago. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you. It's Richard Deitch from The Athletic, sports media critic and writer. We didn't ask him about about my place on the list. We should have had him critique Jeff Agris' list. Next time. Next time.
And his thoughts on my placement on the list and Shane's placement and Tanny's placement.
It's a team effort.
Still
it's
waiting.
A team effort. They were, yeah. The thing they wrote about me was just things happen on the show. You guys are.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Yeah,
I knew you'd like that description that things happen. And clearly you're experiencing the Spiegel bump and the Reardon bump and the Tannehill bump.
Yeah.
That's what's happening here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no coincidence. This happens after a full year of working with the three of us. He moves up from 18 to 6.
Zero coincidence.
I don't think we're harping on that enough.
No.
I agree. You guys make me much better.
See, I'm not sure if you agree. I think we really need to hear it from you more often.
You think what you need praise from me more often, or
specifically towards Tanny? Yeah, there's like a growing thing here, at least behind the scenes, where like folks in the hallway, you can even hear it through their masks, are talking about how you don't appreciate
Chris.
Tanny enough.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've heard that.
Wow.
Yeah, Mitch talks about it all the time, actually.
Yeah.
So does Ryan Porth, by the way.
Wow.
Dude, you just got here. How do you know this already?
Yeah, it's strong the fumes of this are.
Hey, wow. It's a good couple of weeks for Ryan Pease. Am I right? Huh? Big times.
I did it today when I was putting in some audio. I accidentally wrote Ryan Pace.
Not
polls.
No.
Oh, God. Man, force
there
a habit.
There it is.
It's like right in 2022, you know.
Yeah.
But I think Danny being six is good. You know, it reminds me of legendary sixth men like Jamal Crawford, you know, or Tony Kukoc, or John Havlicek, Detlef Schrempf,
Ben Gordon.
Oh, Ben Gordon, Manu Ginobili. You know,
these are all sixth men.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to go with jersey number six, like Jay Cutler, and so I much prefer your way,
Dr. J.
Yes,
number
much
six.
More likable.
Oh,
jersey number six.
One of the most likable sixes of all time, Dr. J.
I could not agree more. Yeah. Adam Hoge will join us at 4 o'clock. We were so Ryan Poles-centric yesterday that we missed just two of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the sport talking about their future and the uncertainty around it. We'll get into that next on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You knew this was in the mix. There were a ton of people tuning in, rooting against us for one reason and one reason only. It's because of, my vaccination status and them wanting to see us lose so they could pile on. And there's anger kind of thrown my way. But the root of that, I think, is fear. And so I do have empathy for those people who are caught in this fear state around COVID that has been continued to be pushed and furthered by media and by some of the narratives that are out there. And I do have empathy for that.
It's just so weird for people to be afraid of a new disease that's contributed and killed nearly a million Americans. Weird thing. I don't know. Why would you be afraid of something like that, Speaks? Can you think of any reason? Do you think it's the death and the sickness and the newness and the uncertainty of the long-term effects of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Might be that, right?
All sorts of reasons. All sorts of reasons. I hate when... Probably the death. When the reductive conversation of that's the only reason that people were rooting against me. The partisan, tribalistic silliness of being able to reduce it just to like one thing. No, I was thrilled that Aaron Rodgers lost for lots of reasons. Lots of reasons, and reasons that predate his vaccination stance and him being able to just like limit it to that. I don't like that he can limit it to that in his mind. He shouldn't, you know,
but he's a lot less popular this year than he was last year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But there were a lot of people that were bothered by him. Like he's and he probably knew that. He knew that he felt like a target and felt like a victim for a long time before all this. This is just helping him embrace it even more as he did this week.
Yeah. So he went on the Pat McAfee show. And he talked about what is going to impact his decision to play and where to play in 2022.
I know you want to take some time or whatever. Like, what factors go into your decision-making when you sit there and you try to figure out what your future may look like? Is that, well, you got to wait till you get back to the beach house, throw on some Neil Young and just hang out on the beach and figure out what's going on? Like, what factors really matter to you?
Oh, good one, H. I'm glad I'm up to date on my pop culture so I can understand your reference there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think some of the factors are the direction of the team and the organization and how I feel like I fit in the future mentally. You know, do I still have the passion, the competitiveness, and the desire to keep playing? And I think it's a feeling that you just kind of know once you feel the off season has started. You know, when you're a competitive, hyper-competitive individual, you also probably want you dream or think about what the fairy tale ending is. And it doesn't mean Super Bowl necessarily, but that's a pretty damn good fairy tale. You know, not many people have been able to walk off like that. I mean, Peyton did, and John Elway did, but not many people have been able to do that. So it comes down to more just how you're feeling. Can you still play? Do you still have the same commitment and enjoyment with the game? And do you want to sign up for the grind again? And I think the only way of knowing that is to probably get away from it for a little bit, let your mind clear, and think about it, the enormity of the task and what would bring you the most enjoyment. You know, what's the best for your quality of life at that point? You have to get away from it and not make an emotional decision and take time, because the enormity of the commitment to return or the decision to walk away, I think, warrants ample time to contemplate and to communicate with friends and loved ones, you know, former teammates who've moved on, current teammates who are still playing. You know, I think you have to factor in all of those different bits of information and then kind of see what it feels like intuitively inside of you and then make a decision and go with it and move forward. One thing I would not do, 100% would not do, is retire and then, you know, come back a year later. Like, that's just,
okay.
I don't have any desire to do that. That makes no sense. I feel like I'm at the place relationally with the Packers, especially with Brian and the way our friendship and trust has grown, where it would be a simple conversation and whatever comes out of that conversation is moving forward. There's not going to be any weird, you know, standoff, war of silence or anything. It's, you know, Brian and I have had good conversations throughout the year. And when it comes time to make a decision, we'll have a conversation and that'll be that. It won't be a long, drawn out process.
So if I gave you the three options, he plays for the Packers, he plays for any other team, or he retires, where you put in your money?
That he plays for another team. And that's not where I was even a month ago. But the sameness of the exit, kind of the ugliness of the loss, and the fact that he is openly talking about not wanting to be a part of the rebuild, and they have massive salary cap issues, and Devontae, I don't think he wants to play without Devontae up there, you know? And I don't think they can keep multiple players, including Devontae and including him. So
Matt LaFleur says they can. Matt LaFleur says that they have a plan and a path to keeping all of the key contributors from the team. And you know how the cap is. It can be manipulated and fudged, and guys can take a $20 million signing bonus and play for a $1 million cap hit if they want to. You know, like, I hear what you're saying. I don't think he's walking away. No. I think my bet would be the Packers, because the thing that seemed to be driving him away from the Packers last year has been repaired. And if he felt, and he clearly did and does, victimized and oppressed and targeted, you know where he's not any of those things?
Yeah, and he said it. It's gonna feel nice there. That's a nice warm nest for a guy who has not enjoyed the downturn in his popularity.
Yeah, like, you go to Denver and some people will support you, some people won't. Maybe it's a little bit of a hippie culture, which he has some tendencies towards, but otherwise maybe not. Like, I could see the uncertainty of the, like, warmth and the support from the home fans and, like, his neighbors being a concern of his. And I also think that, like, when in doubt, the status quo normally remains. So I think he's too good to retire. He's too competitive to go out on that note. And I also think that the Packers, if they do have a plan, you know, we had Nate Taylor on, the beat reporter for the Chiefs yesterday, who talked about, you know, a couple years ago they had $150 in cap space
and
were able to give Pat Mahomes $500 million and re-sign Chris Jones in the same offseason. Like, you can – if the Packers make a concerted effort, we are not losing Devontae Adams. We are signing you. We are not losing Devondre Campbell. You will have David Bakhtiari. We are committed to, as long as you are here, being competitive, and we will kick the can down the road with the salary cap for as long as we need to ensure that for you. I think he's coming back to the Packers, and I think I also think that he'll come back to the Packers with a contract. Like, it'll be a
reinvestment, a reconnection, a rededication.
It will not be a year-to-year thing. It would be, all right, I'm signing a three-year, $150 million fully guaranteed contract.
See,
But $100 million is a signing bonus. Like,
I think he enjoys having the power every year, the way that LeBron kind of pioneered NBA guys having the power every year and having the opt-outs. I think he enjoys the power and the drama of every offseason. Texter's getting in at 6:70, 11. I have empathy for the fact that Aaron Rodgers thinks he's some sort of omniscient shaman, when really he's just an armchair psychologist confusing being an elite athlete with being an actual authority on social issues. Go away, you long-haired hippie. Go away. That's the same guy. Here's another one. He's less popular now because the vax lies pushed his smug, arrogant, pseudo-intellectual a-holeness to the forefront. I agree with that guy. And Atlas shrugged, sitting there on the shelf as a perfect capper and a perfect encapsulation.
Did you read the ESPN profile, though, on him? The long ESPN piece that came out last week when you were on vacation?
I did not.
He did not read that book. He put it there for that broadcast.
He trolled for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he said, I knew everyone was going to go insane. Yeah. I knew people were going to get mad at me for that, and so I put it out there
to troll. It's fine. It's just like him saying, I'm above the fray. I'm above the game, and then digging down deep and getting ugly and into the game as anybody. I dislike the dude.
Oh, I mean, I'm not saying that you need to like him. I'm just saying on that particular point, he apparently was trolling the world, whether you believe
Danny,
that or not.
Danny, back off. I don't have an MVP vote, okay? You just, you know.
That's true. No, you could not like him. You could dislike Aaron Rodgers. It's totally fine. and there's plenty that I dislike about him now. I still want to continue to watch him play football, though. I do not want him to retire. I think the sport is better with him playing. And frankly, even though, like, other than the fact that, like, and this is a big other than, I admit, like, it's dangerous to put out bad and misleading information about a public health crisis. That is like a huge, like, neglectful, dangerous thing to do with your platform and responsibility. I like that he does 30 minutes a week with Pat McAfee. Like, it's rare to get insight, and like, even if I disagree with every word that he's saying, like, I can't be the guy who says I want more openness and honesty and transparency and get to know my athletes, and then when one just says a bunch of stuff that I dislike, be like, ah, shut up, I want you silenced and deplatformed. The problem is he's saying things that are just wildly reckless about a public health issue.
Right, right. I don't want him silenced and deplatformed. Go ahead. You know, I'm just Team Neil Young. Very, very much Team Neil Young. Lovely to hear Heart of Gold on the way in there. And there's like, Neil Young, he's just been that dude for a long, long time. And I love that he still is.
The voice you just heard is Matt Spiegel, who is the Good Vibes provider. And he is back from vacation, but he is struggling. He is a warrior. He is fighting through right now for us. And he is going to explain why he is a hero, but also retired, next on The Score.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What do you mean? Vacation. He says he needs a vacation. He needs some time off to let loose. If anybody needs a vacation, I need a vacation.
Pain, Danny.
Yeah.
Still in pain, man.
What happened?
I'd like to announce my retirement from beach volleyball. I had a good run. I started a long time ago. But I played twice in Mexico. You know, they have like an entertainment staff. They're like, hey, we've set up the volleyball court. Come out there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I think I still got it. I'm 51, but I still got it. I don't still have it, is the answer. I came out of there without a torn ACL, so that's a win, right?
That is a win.
But at one point, I did a terrible thing. I tried to jump. I don't know if you've seen me jump anytime real recently.
No, you've been retired from jumping for a while.
But I got back into it. I picked a bad time to get back into it. I jumped and I felt something pop in my side. I'm like, what is going on? Ow. And I was terrified. I thought maybe I cracked something, or like, was that a heart attack? No. It appears to just
a heart attack.
I didn't know what it was. It was a stabbing pain all of a sudden. I crumbled to the ground.
No.
Everyone was frightened, including me. And then I realized, oh, it's just kind of a muscle pull, just sort of pulled a muscle there. So I think I did something to, I don't know whether it's the cartilage between the two ribs or a muscle that's like holding things together. It might be an oblique. I don't know. I haven't gone and gotten it checked out because it feels like something that should go away on its own. I'm on the 10-day disabled list at this point. But I feel this is the right time to announce my retirement from beach volleyball. Your thoughts?
I have a lot of thoughts. Before this Mexico vacation, when was the last time you had played beach volleyball?
Oh, I'm going to say 8-9 years, something like that.
So you were already retired.
I hadn't announced it. I hadn't filed papers.
You hadn't filed papers. I understand. You hadn't had the press conference.
Right.
But
I hadn't stepped away officially.
No one was inviting you to, you know, rec league games. You were not getting called for the beach.
This is true.
Beach volleyball had moved on without you.
They had the game had evolved past me. I think that's fair to say.
And so really, you tried to come out of retirement, and you just didn't accept that you had already been retired. Because 8 years is too long of a gap for physical activity.
Think?
Yeah.
You've seen me play golf. Remember how surprised you were that I made good contact with the golf club?
I was and I was shocked by what transpired on that golf course.
Yeah, and I told you I have a good 30-year career of taking long breaks from golf, but every time I go back, I kind of refine some of the contact and some of the skills.
And I respect that, but here's the difference, Spiegs. 80-year-olds golf.
Yeah. Yeah.
80-year-olds don't play beach volleyball, and if they do, they don't jump. Yeah. And I'm not saying you're 80. I'm saying you're closer to 80 than you want to give yourself credit for. It's just that beach volleyball is a no joke workout. Like that
correct.
Is a, that is a correct. Tough sport to play. There's a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Well, I mean, it was. It's not like it was 2-on-2. It's not like it was 2-on-2. I wasn't Kirch Karai.
Well, who was the Kerry Walsh to your Maddie May trainer?
Yeah, I think Misty May trainer. Oh, Maddie May trainer. I see what you did there. That's well done. See?
Are you kidding me, dude?
Yeah, he gets it now. He gets it.
You thought
it might have been a heart attack, though?
Let's address that
part of the story.
Matt Spiegel
is down right now.
Stabbing pain in your side? Sudden stabbing pain? That could be anything. Could have been anything.
Yeah. You said there was concern. I want to know, how big of a scene did you cause?
Very, very small. I went down. Okay. People were scared. And then I stood up and said, I'm okay. I finished the game. I finished the game. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. You're like Alex Caruso.
Yeah, right, exactly. I finished the game. And then I went on to play bags, to play cornhole later in the day and several other times. So I fought through it. I'm kind of a hero is the thing. It was sort of a remarkable level of recovery and involvement. But now I find myself paying.
You're
for
still
it.
In pain.
Still in pain. I had to sing this morning. Hard to breathe. Hard Ooh. To take big deep breaths. That makes it difficult to sing. Maybe not for you, but
one take, knock it out.
Yeah, sort of awkward.
Shane, is this making you want to recruit Spiegs to the Odyssey softball team?
No, absolutely not. No. He can stay up in the broadcast booth speaking out into the ether.
Yeah, broadcasting to nowhere.
Yeah, that's fine. I did have an opportunity, though, to do a lot of cornhole, and I improved my cornhole mechanics. I simplified my mechanics. It's rare to get a chance to play winter ball, you know?
Yeah.
I was in the Mexican League. I got a chance, got a lot of workout down there, and really have dialed in the mechanics. I'm excited for this next cornhole season.
You had that inverted W going, right?
Yeah, I know it was rough. People were worried. There were surgery concerns, but I'm ready. Shane, I think the gauntlet has been dropped previously. If you do you drop a gauntlet? Do you throw it down?
I think you drop a gauntlet.
You want a piece of me in bags, right?
Yeah, I think we can make that happen here indoors.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, I used to be a stepper. I used to take a full step, and I think of myself as the Kyle Hendricks of bags, just like really repeatable mechanics. Now, like the pros, I'm a standstill.
Yeah.
I'm a standstill, and get the balance going.
You're like the Cy Young of bags, in my opinion.
That's what Tanny always says.
He's always said that.
Yeah.
Like 511 wins in bags.
Yeah, I'd be happy to take that on. Maybe it can even be a score thing where 99.9% of the talent here can be involved.
That'd be great. that'd be fantastic. Do we have high enough ceilings for bags?
I'll find them. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Danny, don't you worry your little head about the ceilings here, okay?
I'm not concerned.
All right? That's my purview.
He's always
the ceiling is the roof.
Tell him, Michael. The ceilings.
Seriously, enough with the criticism of our ceilings here.
God, back off, Danny.
What are you talking about? I want time.
We'll find the space.
We'll find
architectural thoughts.
Do the pros don't step?
No, they don't step. They don't step. They stand right there in the front, and they've got the variety of shots. They will airmail it over the top if they need to, and put it right in that way. And Shane, I've got the professional bags with the suede one side and the slidey on the other.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh, that's weird because I'm a blue-collar bags guy. I don't need that garbage.
No, I need it.
Mine are made out of sandpaper, like no, the Lord intended.
I need everything measured. I need it all straight on. I need very, very solid circumstances.
Okay.
But well. But my injury is an issue, and if you see me leaning to one side or kind of grimacing, not in a rambling way at any point, but if you just see that every once in a while, that's what it's about.
Yeah, I don't know what you did. It seems like you pulled something in your rib cage.
I think so. Abdominal? Yeah. Oblique? Do I need to get it checked out?
Sciatica? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what it is, but you're retired.
Yeah.
Still retired.
I had a good run.
Adam Hoge is... I like Adam Hoge. He's got Bears thoughts. He's got Bears information. He enjoys discussing those things. Will the Bears have a coach by the end of the day? It's next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.